Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you on this July the 21st on the West Coast. On the East Coast, it's already July the 22nd. For the next hour, I will be with you. And we have Winfrey scheduled as our guest tonight. We're trying to establish contact with him. Until I am notified otherwise, I'm going to make a few remarks about some things that happened over the weekend, good things, and just give you some updates on what is happening with journalism and the news and all of that good stuff. Quick shout out to a few people. I want to thank Kiki for kind help and encouragement and helping me make some contacts with some new guests. We're going to have a flurry of new visitors to Evident Footprints, people that are doing very important work in the healing arts and the study of metaphysics, as well as inventing products that bring you around to whole health. I saw some really interesting inventions over the weekend. I was up at the U.S. Psychotronics Conference in Chicago, and they had a roster of very good speakers. This is a conference that merges science and metaphysics together, and it was very interesting to hear the people get along and talk about differing topics that tend to have a point where they actually merge together and really function on a higher plane when that occurs. And I got to see lots of good books. There is a bevy of books that I hope to be bringing to the forefront on future shows, things that we can all learn, and I'm talking about healing and prayer and the concept of an expansive universe beyond this three-dimensional world. And these are folks that have been dealing with this for quite some time. A lot of work was being done on color therapy, sound healing modalities, something I'm very endeared to because of my music career and my work in that area. I got the opportunity to talk to people about the Love Code and the work of Dr. Len Horowitz, who I'm working with on Tetrahedron Records, and we're developing some new artists or some artists that have already published their music who have agreed to, let's say, update their music in the love frequencies. And Dr. Horowitz has been promoting the concert for Living Waters in 2009, and these people were very interested. Got to meet B. Lidecker, who is a psychic who actually helps animals. She communicates with animals, and I had a very interesting experience with her animals. I actually went up to her and asked for permission to pet her four chihuahuas. She's got these long-haired chihuahuas that are just absolutely adorable, and they're about half the size of the normal chihuahua you see out there. And literally, when I went up to the cage to pet the four dogs, they all came up and started licking me. But they were barking their heads off at some other people. In fact, usually there are some disinformation agents roaming around these events, and I think they sensed who it was from the moment they walked in the door. They got very upset. So I calmed them down and talked to them for a minute, and they went to sleep and made some instant friends. B remarked how they responded to me, that normally, although they're friendly, once they know you, they rarely respond to someone like that. So that's just an example of them recognizing someone who loves animals. Speaking of animals, I want to wish Frank, my double yellow nape green Amazon, happy birthday, number 15, and he's listening to the show. He would like to be on it, but if I bring him on, we may not get a chance to talk about anything else except what Frank wants to talk about. Probably a future show we will do that. Now, later on in the show, time permitting, we will be taking calls, and I'm going to give you some numbers. I'm going to give out the numbers for Station 1. If you would like to call in later on when I invite your calls, the toll-free number in the USA is 877-876-5227. And toll-free from the USA and Canada, the number is 888-815-9756. And the direct line in the United States or from wherever you'd like to call, it's 530-876-3222. And please wait until we ask you to call in. That is if we decide we are going to take calls. Now, we have been doing a series of shows talking about the Council of Elohim. Winfrey, tonight's guest, has been communicating with them through two channels, Terry and Daphne, and we plan to bring someone else who has made a contact with the Elohim via the conference calls that Wynn conducts weekly.
That's not exactly true.
That's not exactly. Well, let me introduce you, Wynn.
I might as well nip that in the bud, okay?
Or is it the Ra group? He's communicating with the Ra group.
Well, let me say that everyone who channels has a right to call who they're talking to by the name that it's identified to them. And so it's not up to me to tell somebody you're doing this or you're doing that, although I might have suspicions, okay?
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, Winfrey, welcome to the show.
So Matthew is on the line with me. And I know that if you introduce him as channeling anybody of any name, he's going to immediately say, what? you know, part of the... Are you there, Matthew?
I am.
Okay, Wynn, may I do a proper introduction? Winfrey, welcome to the show, and we have with us Matthew Edwards. Okay.
Hi there, Don. How are you, Don?
Welcome to Evident Footprints, gentlemen.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
Okay. Now, when you were saying...
Matthew, are you laughing in the background there?
I am.
Well, let's put it this way, Don. One of the banes of humanity is they try to make things familiar. And so when you give something a name... It's like Winfrey is talking to the Council of Elohim, and so-and-so is talking to Archangel Michael. You know, on a human level, it's like whoever these group entities are not like, we may try to make them familiar in our minds so that we can maybe call on the same frequency. It would be better to say, that Wynn is tuned out into 102.8 FM, and what's the station on there? Oh, that sounds pretty cool. And then Matthew's tuned into 106 FM. That sounds pretty cool, but we don't like 101 FM, you know? So then the DJ has a name, but it's really the key to all of this is not to make it familiar, because as soon as it becomes familiar, and you think you know what you're talking about, you're screwing it up because it's corrupted immediately. We're talking about extended parts of ourselves. You, me, and everyone listening. All of us extend into a hologram that is huge, potentially, and that there are many, many energies, and energies is not even, you know, any word you use is a screw-up, but I'll use the word energies. There's many energies that can interface with someone's hologram. And many times people have energies interfacing in their hologram, and they don't even know it. But then there are certain people who have this rare ability to give those energies that momentarily combine with a hologram, a voice, and they communicate. But, you know, understanding them in any more of a familiar way is just an illusion, unless you're connecting with them. If you connect with their frequency, then it doesn't matter what you call them.
Because well, your point is well taken. May I add, if I'm praying to God and I feel God is answering me, I will identify that message with God, and I won't give the credit to Satan. So, to an extent, some identification serves a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
well,
I would recommend to anyone that's trying to glean some information from the spiritual realm to discern where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, identification, again, serves a purpose, and it has a tendency to verify the information. There's a means to test it,
mm-hmm.
as you well know.
Well, Jesus gave the best thing, by your fruits you shall be known. So if you look at what's happening and how it's impacting other people over a period of time, the chances are you've got something positive that you're dealing with. Is it helping you? Is it wise? Is it compassionate? And then, you know, there may be other factors to further identify it. But Matthew is really our guest tonight, okay? I mean, I've been talking about this now for three or four of your shows. And so let me just shut up for a moment and let you ask some of these questions to Matthew.
Oh, okay. I think you understand the point I'm making. You know, I'm not trying to refute what you're saying or invalidate what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm merely pointing out, you know, Satan himself appears as an angel of light. And if
right.
one is not discerning, they can be led astray. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only reason I was saying those things the way I was saying them with vehemence is because when I first listened to Matthew and listened to his channelings, now I don't believe Matthew has studied all my work as much as I studied his. So I have ways of thinking this fits into that category.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very unfamiliar to him, and may still be. So, so that's why I came on like that, because Matthew has his way of identifying his source, so I just wanted to be respectful of that.
Okay, well, you have to allow me or allow him to make that point, too.
Yeah, so that's why I'm shutting up.
You know, my intention is not to promote something that's not true, number one, and you know, if I should apologize for saying what I said, then I apologize, but the intention is not to mislead anyone, okay? And on the basis of what this has been about, I maybe incorrectly assumed that was the case, but maybe Matthew can clarify that. So, Matthew, I'll direct that question to you in a roundabout way, I guess. Now, you have been, it's my understanding that you have been participating in the conference calls and that you started doing some channeling yourself. How is that taking you aback a little bit, or are you just sort of going with the flow? Is it feeling natural, or are you having any issues dealing with that?
Well, my experience with acting as a channel began some time ago. I did actually do training. I did a mystic training with a teacher when I was in my 20s. I'm 36 now.
Okay.
But in my early 20s, I met a teacher who is a trance channel. His name's Ken Ludden. And I did a 5-year apprenticeship with him about the mystic arts. And part of that learning was kind of oriented me to a new way of viewing what it is to be human. In particular, you know, we are, from one way of speaking of it, we are spirits incarnate in bodies. And as so, our bodies actually act as transmitter receivers for all kinds of information. Of course, you have the normal five senses that are transmitting and receiving information all the time. But in the course of my learning, the intention was to open up the additional senses. And so in the course of doing that, that's when my first channeling experiences happened. And actually I met when he came to Circle Center, which is a center I started here in Northern California.
Okay.
In 2002. And Wynn came to a channeling event I did here and invited me to come on to be part of these conference calls, which has been just really rich, profound experience, because this group that has been coming together on these conference calls is a really amazing group of people that is creating a very powerful group energy. And it's really because of the presence of that group energy that it's possible to bring through the source that I do bring through, because it's actually co-created with the group on the phone. In other words, that particular source would not come through in that form absent of that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways I become the mouthpiece for the group energy that's formed on those calls. So I'm hoping that gives some kind of context.
Okay, so you're basically saying it's the group oversoul energy that is blending together or joining together as one force through the intention of the group to manifest a positive change.
Yeah, it's like there's a message can only be delivered if there's room. If there's actually room for that message, if there's an ear that can hear that message. And so I kind of act as a channel, it's like a hose pipe. It's a very simple mechanism. I basically connect with the energy, the spirit energy that wants to connect with that group. And then I act as a hose pipe between the dimensions. And use my body as a broadcast that transmits that signal from the spiritual into English language that can be heard by the ear. But that group energy is actually holding the space for that message to happen. So I do this work with many different groups in many different settings. I also do individual sessions. And so it's always a little bit of a different message that can come through because it's a different audience or a different space that's being held.
Okay. Now, there's a difference between, let's say, what you're doing and what Wynn is doing, and I'm merely pointing this out because for the listening audience, the information that's coming to Wynn is coming through two different channels, depending on who is there at the time, or when both are together, whomever is being spoken to at the time. And you are obviously being studied in a sense. Does that make you feel at all self-conscious about the message, or does it make you approach it maybe a bit more gingerly, or do you find that it really doesn't matter that Wynn is studying you?
You know, it really doesn't matter in terms of what my job is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my job, based on my own spiritual path, is to completely, as much as I can, empty out and make myself available to spirit in that moment to speak. So, you know, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to alter the message or change something. My job is to deliver the message, so
mm-hmm.
I trust the source. I trust the source
okay.
is delivering something that needs to be delivered, and then whatever the world does with that is really beyond me. My job is to deliver the message.
Okay. Now, do you test the message in the beginning? I know that when has sort of a method that he uses, and it's basically to set the tone and to ensure integrity and the highest possible vibration and allow what comes through to always be in the light, so to speak. And I'm being rather general in this description, but do you have a procedure for invoking the desired spiritual atmosphere that you would like to come through, or do you find that when the message comes, it just comes?
No, I do a procedure
mm-hmm.
that was part of my training. It comes from a tradition that has to do with preparing the vessel, preparing my body, preparing myself to be clear. So that's something that I would do before any session. It does set a certain kind of orientation to the energy that makes it clear that I'm tuning into the source I want to be tuning into.
Okay. Well, would it be appropriate for me maybe to give you the opportunity to begin a session and let's ask some general questions? Of course, if the listening audience is so moved, we could possibly allow them to call in.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be fine. I could do that. It is better, actually, to have live questions because the thing, if you can imagine, it's like a circuit where the energy, it only flows when there's somewhere for it to flow to.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's an actual question that's a real world need, it's actually the expression of the need that creates that loop that makes the energy flow and the information come. So to have actual live questions from people who really have need or interest would actually create it.
Okay. Well, I'll let you begin if you want to prepare yourself. I have a question that I would like to start with, but I want to make sure that you feel, you know, that you're ready to field that question.
Okay.
You? Matthew?
Yeah.
Do I hear Wynn in the background there?
Matthew, would you like me to lay back? Would you like me to come in and help hold energy for this?
Yeah, Wynn, why don't you come? I'd welcome you, Wynn, to come and hold the energy. And actually, if you want to, maybe, Wynn, you could do the calling in of the light that you do on your calls. And I'll do my setting while you do that, and that would give people an idea of how you set space, and I'll do my own process. And then I'll be ready, basically, as soon as Wynn finishes the calling in of the light, I'll be ready.
Okay. I would like to just share, like, a minute what happened when this takes place. And that is that everyone listening has the opportunity to access... access a part of themselves that is higher than what they normally access, like a meditative part, where when you shut your eyes, you might be able to see lights in your forehead or a light in your forehead, and that all of us that are listening have the opportunity to touch into each other's energies. Even though we're far apart, thousands of miles or more, time is not relative in the hologram. So if we invoke that and ask for that, then you have the chance to do that. And of course, it's free will, and if it seems scary or uncomfortable, then you can lay back and just observe and not try for anything to happen. But if you trust the circumstance, then go with it, in my words, and we'll create a group energy. And when we create a group energy, that group energy does not exist in the physical realm. It exists in the realm where these other energies can connect. So even though everyone is far, far apart, this energy, this source, that however we want to name or describe it, that would talk through Matthew, can tap into this group energy, and with your permission, it can look at you. And so if you ask a question, it can answer, and my experience has been, this has been very true, it can answer with a lot of knowledge of who you are and very specific to your circumstance. So this is a very rare opportunity to ask this kind of question. And what I'm going to do is invoke that group consciousness. And then before Don asks a question, I'm going to invite Matthew's source to address that oneness that we've created and talk to it, and then when it's ready, it will leave a space for a question from Don. Is that okay with both of you?
That's fine, yes.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we're going to invoke that group consciousness now. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here on the line, each person listening, and each person speaking, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy that radiates from the center of our galaxy through our bodies, through our chakra systems, through our feet, and into the center of the earth. And right now, we're going to invoke a group consciousness, a blending of all those energies, of all those who are listening, who are open to participate in this. And when we have this group consciousness, at the moment, we are actually accessing that part of us that mystics talk about, the oneness. And in this oneness, we can invite positive service to other energies also in the same zone outside of this realm to blend with us, to uplift us, to protect the space, and that only positive service to other energies be permitted. And on that note, I will leave a space for Matthew's source to introduce itself and share what it deems is important for us to hear.
Blessings. Blessings. Blessings from beyond. Beyond the known. Beyond the names you have for your own experience. You have a map. You have a map, and it is in the form of thoughts. And the thoughts are serving you daily to navigate a concrete reality. However, you are not only concrete in your existence. You are also astral. You are energetic. You are spiritual. You are, in some cases, psychic. These are also components of your nature as a being, specifically as a human being. We invite you to consider opening to what you are in a greater sense of being. Your natural situation, your life circumstances, give you a story. And it is a purposeful story. It gives you the chance to grow. But beyond that story, you are connected to all that is. You are a spark of a great, great, great fire. And connection is an option for you, to anything that exists. Spirit speaks in many forms. Your life itself is spirit speaking. Open. Consider new ways of living, new ways of sharing your gifts with others. The time has come for great, great changes. Changes will be unfolding around you in all ways. Change is the nature of the times. Be open to what creation gives you. You are moving beyond your map and your story of who you were will no longer serve you now that you are moving beyond your map. Life is opening. Be present for it.
Okay, I have a question. I want to thank the energy that's bringing this message forward, and point out that as the host of this show called Evident Footprints, I'm going to speak in the first person, but I ask you to please consider that I am speaking in the first person for my listening audience as well. This show is about revealing the truth in a very oppressive society, a society bent on controlling us in our physicality, in our physical nature, and in our mind, in our thoughts, forcing us to comply with rules and laws. And this is all accomplished through fear, methods of fear, methods of disinformation. And at penalty of great suffering, loss of freedom, loss of happiness, the pursuit of happiness, under the threat of even having our religious or our spiritual convictions being challenged as or deemed to be worthless. And so this show, as a forum for communication of higher vibration, higher thoughts, higher deeds, with the intention of bringing the listening audience together and recognizing our responsibility individually and then collectively, and our oneness, our ultimate oneness, so that we can awaken those that are still trapped in what we call illusion. Do you have a suggestion on how we can either continue to go about this process or modify what we're doing, understanding that, yes, it is good to stay focused in the realm of positive possibilities, yet we have these everyday issues that we are faced with constantly? And I'll end the question there.
Mystery. Mystery is the gift you need. Mystery is the great freedom. Mystery is what allows you to participate in a given reality and yet still be open to other options. It is not possible, nor is it needed, to redefine the rules of your current society. Your current society is at a point similar to the last breath of a dying old man. That is not the time to try to change the man. And the last breaths of a dying culture will most likely simply be what was not said when the culture was vibrant. It will simply be the leftover unsaid things. The death of your culture is inevitable and need not be defended against. What is opening is mystery. Great mystery. And great mystery in who we are. These creations. These lives we live. These beings that we are. Who are we now? Who will we be? This is the voice of the people now. Change is upon us. Creation opens. And mystery is now the golden carpet ride. Be in the mystery. Do not know. Do not seek to know the answers. Be in the questions. Be in the mystery. And the mystery will lead you like a river to the place of openness where you will have the new perspective. But if, as the changes occur, you try to be the one who knows, and it is tempting because every mind like to know that if you can open to mystery, you can open to the unknown, you will be giving yourself and the world a great, great gift, because every perspective will be needed in the new realm. Every perspective is valid. And so for there to be one way things are, that would invalidate many, many perspectives. Be open to the mystery. Find yourself connected and included, because the mystery is the great holder of all that exists. And yet somehow it does the job you are seeking to do, which is to hold the many truths and allow the many truths to be shared without the holder of those truths itself dominating the forum. And that is the challenge that every ego has, every mind has. And the key is, be in the mystery. Do not know, do not explain, simply wonder curiously at the many faces of the inconceivably vast and varied, beautiful truth of life.
I thank you for that answer. That is well taken and well understood. There is an aspect of what you speak of which is probably contrary to what you just said, and that is the concept of illusion. In the awakening process of the human being, at least this is my perception, and most listeners would probably agree, that since there are so many different perceptions of truth, there can be just as many perceptions of illusion. And staying open to the mystery, or the mysteries, and the potential for more mysteries to come in, invites the possibility of an illusion being misinterpreted as a mystery. the higher mysteries of which you speak. Can you counsel us on discernment regarding the two? Personally, I have my own methods for that, and sometimes it's a matter of trial and error. Sometimes I instantly recognize that. You speak of some who are psychic, some who are empaths, some who are telepathic, some who can see into other dimensions, some who see the subtle energies or hear the subtle energies. But for the average individual, what would a good exercise or method, without setting rules, what would be the best path for that person that is desirous of learning the discernment, following the counsel you just gave us, and being able to discern between what is a coming mystery and one which is cloaked in illusion?
What you will find in life is that every situation provides the same opportunities for growth. An illusion, a truth, each an opportunity for growth. This relationship, that relationship, both opportunities for the same growth. This job, that job, both the same growth opportunity. This place to live, that place to live, and yet both offer the same opportunity for growth. It is the nature of existence that it simply reflects back to you. Whatever is the maximum opportunity for growth for you in that current moment. And so even if it is, and it is true from some perspectives, that everything that exists is illusion, but it is also true that it is deeply purposeful illusion. And so the question is not, is this illusion or is this truth? Be in the dream. If it is a dream, be in the dream. But be in the dream from the deepest truth of your heart. Create through action that which is the fulfillment of your nature in that dream. Be present in the dream. Be activated in the dream. Be fulfilled by the presence of the dream. And if it is truth, and it is difficult for us to imagine what would constitute truth as being independent from the illusion, because this realm is the Maya, this realm is the dream. But the purpose of this dream you are here for is to grow in spirit, to have growth experiences through encountering life on its terms. So rather than discern between truth and illusion, be present for what appears to exist and encounter it from the deepest truth of your being by being in action from the heart. That will result in the maximum growth for you, whether it is a dream or supposed truth. You will come out more connected to your depth of being.
I thank you for that answer. Also, the listeners, thank you for that answer. I understand that concept. I guess the question was phrased as it was because we, under this system, this societal control that we live by in this third dimensional construct called planet Earth, the majority buy into the controlling mechanisms and are in denial that they exist. Following what you said, it may not be important, yet many feel trapped because they fall into patterns of habit, reaction. In fact, the system operates under problem, reaction, solution. And this is done for us and to us, either with our conscious or our unconscious consent. I'm just clarifying this for the listeners who know that everything has a dichotomy, that we have hot and we have cold, we have high and low, in and out, above, below, rich, poor, tall, short, fat, skinny. These are all perceptions of time and space, and it keeps us in a physical and a mental prison of sorts. I'm understanding, and I'm assuming the listening audience is understanding your meaning of the dream, although the way the dream, I'll use the example, the American dream, is presented to us in the context of someone asleep and unconscious of what's happening. It's a promise that is empty. And so the discernment that I would use to point that out to my listening audience, by the way, is well received by many who consider the use of language and the use of words and the true meaning of words as a communication method has everything to do with how we act or how we are being. And I, on an earlier broadcast, I actually referred to the system as making us humans or a human doing as opposed to a human being. So I'm in agreement with you on the process of being and on the process of, regardless of what choice we make, there are going to be consequences which are of some benefit to us. We are in a state now where we would prefer to learn, make the mistake once and learn from the mistake rather than to fall into the same pattern over and over, which is just perpetuating our karmic debts, for lack of a better expression. And yet, that might imply judgment, that there is a debt to be paid. When we wrong someone, yes, I would agree there is a debt. When we don't know we're wronging someone, we are often punished and judged on that basis as a method of creating fear, which is one of those illusions. So this is a rather complex issue, and I'm bringing it up again to evoke a bit more further clarification. And I will say that I have counseled people that it's my understanding that you can decide to do this or you can decide to do that. You can determine that this gave you a favorable result and that gave you an unfavorable result. we have a tendency to label the unfavorable result as negative or destructive. And it's merely not the outcome that we would choose if we were more conscious, if we knew more how that would affect us in the long run. So I'm acknowledging what you've just addressed in the sense of these almost invisible dichotomies that we deal with when we make spontaneous choices without considering, as you well pointed out, the decisions made from within the heart. Those decisions that are not synchronous or not resonant or vibrating at the same frequency as the heart and the soul would vibrate if they were in constant communication. Any comment about that, please?
There is a message. The message is for Mary. Mary, put your head down. Rest. She will return. But be present with the unfolding. Grief is no shame. Grief is simply life. Inevitably calling you. Grief will pass. Be present in the love. Be present in the light. Light returns.
I thank you for that message. Could you expound a bit on the reality of new energies, or maybe that's an incorrect term. Maybe the energy was always there. Maybe it's the condition of us being able to perceive and employ these energies in our reality. I sense, and many of the listening audience sense, that there is going to be a shift in energy, that there's going to be, with a rise in consciousness, there's going to be a shift possibly into a higher dimension, a higher reality, a higher vibration. And at the point where this occurs, there's going to be a more pronounced clash of these energies that exist here now and between the ones that exist here now and the ones that are coming. Could you comment on that, if that is a reality, and on the nature of that, please?
No longer effective. Force requires a specific outcome. The ocean now moves simultaneously in many directions. Life is impossible to control now. Those who rely on force to control will be frustrated. Those who allow those who control to try to control will be able to be present to the actual unfolding. In other words, while the collapse is happening, there will be those trying to control. Those trying to control those trying to control. And those who are able to be present in the mystery through the changes. Because to live with mystery means not having control. Be in the mystery. The mystery is the hope. The mystery is the gift. The greatest chance of being present for all that is unfolding. And it is a mighty, mighty preparation that is occurring. And to be present for that requires being able to live in mystery. Humble, present, active. Surrender to the gift of mystery.
Again, I thank you for that response. I would invite Wynn, if Wynn has a question he would like to ask. Are you still with us, Wynn?
I am.
Okay.
I am here.
Would you like to ask a question?
I'm just thinking. When force, just following the line of questions, when force is used as a way of attempting to gain control, oftentimes innocent people are hurt. And how can one observe force being used and innocent people being hurt and be indifferent to the force?
Is that the question you wish to ask? How can one be indifferent?
Well, maybe I'm not saying it correctly. The implication was to avoid the force and be in the mystery. I'm trying to formulate the question based on the previous dialogue. If one is ignoring the force, making pretend the force is not there, and that force is doing harm to innocent people, what should be the enlightened man's response to that observation?
The enlightened man, so spoken, would not be presented with that dilemma, because the perception is fundamentally different of that situation. The spiritual path, in the face of force being used to oppress others, is to bring liberation. Liberation does not come from opposing the forcer. Liberation.
I don't know if Matthew is still with us. Are you still with us, Wynn?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I think Seth muted Matthew because his phone was popping. We'll try to bring Matthew back in. I think he was in the middle of his response. Matthew, are you still with us? Okay, we seem to have a bad connection with Matthew. I wonder if we can reestablish that.
Is that there?
Can you hear us, Matthew? I think we're going to try to reestablish the communication. Okay, I understood your question when basically you were asking how can we be watching what's occurring and be enlightened and understand that we stay in the mystery and at the same time remain observant or possibly apathetic to what is happening to everyone else without caring. I think the word caring is what you were implying. Matthew, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, you were cut off. We had quite a bit of distortion when you were talking about liberation. If you would like to attempt to answer Wynn's question again, I'll give you that opportunity.
Okay, let me go back in one sec here. Speech. Speech comes, but words confuse. Freedom of the heart comes from being the heart in life. The heart feels pain. The heart houses joy. The heart is love. Love serves that which it loves. It is the mind that opposes. Love simply serves. The hungry child made hungry by a system which corrupted at its very core makes it impossible for every child to be fed. When that is indeed the potential of this planet, the hungry child made hungry by a system which corrupted at its very core. The heart would serve that child. The heart would love the child, feed the child. The system, which is corrupt, is simply not present in the approach of the heart. The heart loves, the heart serves that which it loves. Serve what you love.
Well, I hear the answer in I think that Wynn was looking for. I would like to ask a question again. This is Don, the host. And I'm asking this also for many in my listening audience who have had a similar experience to mine. We have the experience, and it probably exists on other realms as well, where one is faced suddenly with the prospect of passing on. And I've had that experience twice in my life. We call that a near-death experience or an NDE. We put a label on it for purpose of communicating what that is, although every person that has this experience has a unique experience to them based on the circumstances of the event that precipitates the experience and as well as what occurs, let us say, on the other side. My first experience was very abrupt, and I didn't understand the totality of it until many years later. When my second experience came upon me, somewhat suddenly, but with the time for me to face the prospect of possibly dying in the physical body, I had an overwhelming feeling, an overwhelming conviction that I had not completed my life's work. And that gave me both the understanding and the courage and even the foresight to know that I would pass through the experience. This may have contributed to the experience that I had, which to me was in an angelic realm. And I came back understanding the purpose that one goes to that place and comes back to the body. You come back with a renewed vigor for life, with the underlying conviction that at some point in our existence, we each took an oath. We could call it a life plan. We agreed to experience certain things in our life that would lead us to learn what it was that we came to learn, somewhat like the map that you spoke of. We came here with a road map, and we took some detours and eventually got back on the path, or others caused us to detour. In other words, they pushed us off of our path, possibly against our will. And I would like you, if you would, to explain this phenomenon of this oath I refer to. I refer to it as an oath because as I was dying and my family and friends and the doctors and the nurses all feared that I was going to pass on, I was the only one that did not have the fear. I knew that it was an inconvenience, that it was not a good time, to use that phrase, for this to occur because I knew I had not completed my life's work. I was correct in that. I came back. I learned one lesson, and that there was no reason to fear death, that death was something that happened to the physical body, but it in no way affects who we are as beings, as spirit. And I was able to understand my oath, and I have been on that path ever since. Could you explain the phenomenon that I'm speaking of, to the best of your knowledge, your awareness of our participation in that decision before we come into the physical body in what we call a lifetime, please?
Chains allow the boat to be tethered to the port.
I understood the message. Chains allow the boat to be tethered by the port. Is that the total response?
Tethered to the port.
To the port, okay. That's an obvious metaphor. I'm referring to this, to my understanding, my recollection, my remembering that on some plane I took an oath, I decided or I agreed to play a role in my life to accomplish certain goals, both for myself and for the betterment of humanity. I'm asking for clarification on the higher understanding of that. Is that just an imagination I'm having? Is that singular to me, or do we all have that experience?
The recollection of an oath is specific to you. There is purpose in all circumstances. Life exists as it does because it is great purpose in its existence as it is. Every life has purpose. Every life has purpose as it is.
Well, I guess that's the answer to that question. I thank you. Wynn, do you have another question you would like to ask?
No, I actually don't. You know, after 6 years, I have probably asked every question that I could think of, although I'm sure others will come up. But in the context of our conversation, I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Well, Matthew, I would like to thank you.
Let's bring Matthew back.
That's exactly what I was going to do. Yes.
Let him make some closing. Usually, his source might like to make a closing comment, and then Matthew
okay.
will come back after that.
Okay, Matthew, you're open for any closing comment that you want to bring forward.
Presence brings mystery. That is all.
Well, I thank you, and I'm sure our listening audience thanks you. Matthew, would you like to make any comments personally?
I don't have any particular comments. Thanks a lot for creating the forum that you create and doing the work that you're doing.
Well, it's, as I was stating in, I guess I should ask you the question, when this information is coming through, the group energy, are you aware, as the rest of us are you hearing this as if you're listening to someone else speak, or is any part of your consciousness sort of, taken aback a little bit and sort of just sitting through the experience?
Yeah, for me, it's I am present in it.
Okay.
If I pay too much attention to it, then I actually start to lose the connection. So
mm-hmm.
my job is to not pay attention to it.
rather like a dream where you, after you kind of wake up, you have a sense of something that happened, and you can even maybe recall snippets of it, and yet at the same time, it's kind of not really there anymore. It's just, it fades fast.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple of questions. The Wynn asked the question about those of us who are witnessing what is happening, and we are maybe at a higher vibrational state where we're perceiving everything that's going on. And he raised the issue of us not feeling compassionate or not not being able to disconnect ourselves without appearing to be apathetic to what's going on. In other words, he was addressing the potential for apathy, in that we can be so into the mystery, and the answer that came through was clear. Although I think one would have to go through the practice of the answer, or the principle that the answer suggested, to find some peace in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the nature of people to be passionate. If you're passionate about what you're doing, the answer should be a bit, well, I'm not judging the answer. I understand the nature of it, but I'm just saying, I think we're looking for a certain amount of validity in the response that we got.
Yeah. You know, the as you're talking about it, the image I remember from that is a hungry child.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hungry child, and there's a hungry child, and then there's some kind of tyrant that's making the child hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And the action of love is to feed the child.
Yes.
Not to overthrow the tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the suggestion, is feed the child rather than focusing on overthrowing the tyrant that's making the child hungry. Because mm-hmm. the actual fulfillment in that moment, the actual fulfillment of the heart, is to love. And so, in some ways, it sounds a little strange, but this is my own personal belief. The universe is constantly cooking up scenarios in which there's tragedy and loss and pain and illness, because that creates the forum for healing and compassion and love and tenderness and kindness. And the way to surf the wave, so to speak, of life is to keep giving the love, keep giving the kindness, keep giving the compassion, which will always be needed because we live in a sea of tragedy. And mm-hmm. the fulfillment comes from giving that love, not from somehow solving the tragedy.
Yeah, there are so many side issues to that, because the person, let's say it's Wynn, for example, he sees the hungry child, he goes to give the child food.
Yeah.
And he can't find the food because the food has been taken away, or the food has been poisoned.
Yeah.
Or the water has been poisoned, or the air has been poisoned. And the child is sick because of the poisoning, and the food is scarce because of the poisoning. And so all the love in the world without the food does not accomplish the goal.
Right.
So there's a bit of a dichotomy in that.
Right. Well, so for example, maybe Wynn, in his infinite creativity, could design a system that cleans the air, or write a book about raising awareness about the effect of corporations on the public.
But you see, those things are actions which move toward solutions. It's like they move their actions towards the love.
Yes.
As opposed to actions which create war against the apparent cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very tempting, you know, it's very tempting in this realm to wage war against war, or to try to overthrow tyrants, or, you know, it's like the war on terror is what this whole thing is. It's like this idea that we have to go and cleanse the world of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that itself is a darkness. That itself creates war. Rather than trying to cleanse, I mean, can you imagine actually trying to cleanse the universe of darkness? There's infinite darkness. But rather, become a source of light. And by becoming a source of light, you're not removing the darkness from the universe. You're simply filling some of the darkness in your immediate vicinity. You're introducing light. And I think that, you know, that would be maybe a summary of my own personal beliefs on that topic, is rather than trying to remove the darkness, become a source of light. And of course that does help, because it makes there be light.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't remove the darkness.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, and I would add, and this is humbly I add this, that it's the mission of this show called Evident Footprints to point out to people the illusions, so that if people want to accept the illusions as a reality, they're you know, I'm understanding that I have no right in interfering with their right to hold on to the illusion, or to live by them, or to see them as real. But if one chooses to go outside the box and recognize that many of these things are illusions, and that all they need to do is something in another direction, you brought the message forward of the mystery, the unknown. Well, you have to be willing to take risks to experience the unknown. There's a bit of risk involved, not knowing what the outcome will be, but also we learn at the same time what our intention can do and what it can create. We have to make these choices in order for these things to be manifested. We have become complacent and apathetic as a society, and the society is made up of individuals, so you can say the majority of individuals are apathetic to that. They don't even see the need to go there. The apathy and the denial is so profound.
It's true.
And I guess what I'm saying is the purpose of this show is also to offer solutions, to offer a message, to offer different perspectives, and people can pick and choose what methods they want to try. I'll give you an example. Chemtrails is an issue that I discerned was disease-laden, and it was intended to attack the human populace on the planet, to make us sick, to cause us to die. It was an expedient way of causing massive numbers of people to get sick at the same time and not recuperate. And we began coming up with a spiritual understanding of some of the metaphysical phenomenon going on. And we began photographing these phenomenon. And we learned that we could literally call upon elemental beings, the sylphs, to eat the chemtrails. And I actually got an email from Don Newsom today. Someone posted something on the TNT news board thanking us for the show we did on July 17th, where we talked about the sylphs. And this person named Betts actually had success getting rid of chemtrails. So we have creative methods that we can use. Rather than to go into fear and worry, am I going to get sick? What's going to happen to me? Are my kids going to get sick? We can take action. And it's in that decision to do that the action will occur. But I have to go into that topic to make someone aware that it's occurring.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
You see, it's not so much to delve into the negative, but to face, to acknowledge that it's there and that we don't have to accept it as such. It doesn't have to have the intended outcome actually occur.
Yeah.
And they can spray all day long, and if we call the sylphs will eat the chemtrails all day long. This is captured on film. So this is not a pipe dream. This is not an illusion. This is no less or no more an illusion than the chemtrails themselves. Yet, you know, the context of the message is that everything is an illusion. So, you know, there's a lot of Zen in this message that came through tonight. You want to comment on that or win?
You know, I think that the point you're making is really important, is that action is needed, and, you know, we have to engage life. And engaging life means engaging and acknowledging the difficult things as well as the beautiful things. And it's often the very difficult things that make us really act. And you know, I agree, I think our culture in this country is very much asleep to some very major things. And I think that it is the pressing need that is growing that will eventually make people have to act. And then I would add to that that I think this is right in line with what you're saying, that when it does come time to act, let the action that you take be an expression of who you really want to be. In other words, take the action that's the action of creativity, the action of love, the action of putting something new into the world. And then what you'll find is that very situation that had the tragedy, that had the darkness in it, that very situation becomes the canvas upon which you can paint your own contribution to life. And that's the magic. That's the magic that the heart is capable of. It can take painful situations, that can take dark situations and turn them into the opportunity to express light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not by ignoring the darkness that happens, it's by engaging the darkness, but the engaging of the darkness comes in the form of light being expressed somehow.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I observe nature, take a chameleon, for example. There's a phenomenon that occurs when a chameleon is captured by a predator. Could be a frog, or it could be a baby alligator or a bird. Often they go for the tail of the animal. And the chameleon has a defense mechanism, and the tail breaks off. And it knows how to grow a new one. And some part of my being understands that humans have the same capability. I'm not saying we should grow tails, but what I am saying is that if we lose a tooth or a finger or some part of our body is maimed, we really have the knowledge. If we have the capacity to grow into a sound biological creation, which is called a human being, that at some point in our future, we are going to remember how that's accomplished. And with that will come longer lifespan and a healthier lifestyle. In fact, we will come to understand what foods are poisonous to us, what thoughts are destructive, and have a negative effect on our immune system and our ability to heal ourselves, and that is part of the creation. But then we can create abundance, and we can create love, and we can readily achieve solutions to many, many problems that seem to keep us in this perplexed state all the time, because we're always waiting for someone to solve the problem for us instead of us doing it ourselves, instead of relying on probably what are innate abilities that we have, these gifts that we have. So I understand now that Matt has dropped off the call. Are you still with us, Wynn?
I'm still on the call. Matthew's off the call.
I think he dropped off. I'm sure Seth will try to bring him on. We're going to wrap up the show here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment.
Okay? Sure.
At least a closing comment. You know, first of all, one of the things that I always preface whenever there's channeled information is there's a tendency to give up one's power and believe in it blindly. And that is not the appropriate response. It's far more appropriate to listen to it, to take what resonates, contemplate what you're not sure of, and work with it in that way. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I wanted to say was that I've thought myself many times in terms of the value of, say, the kind of work you do and others like you who are bringing corruption into the light, so to speak, and into people's visibility. And, I've asked myself, is that a good use of someone's time? And I came to the conclusion that, say, in today's world, just looking at it very, very empirically, that I believe that all the people that have talked about all the corruption and all the things that the White House has done are very likely having an impact on them perhaps thinking twice about doing anything else,
mm-hmm.
because that would create fear on their part, knowing that the word is out. Okay? So there's a value in that work, and that's a direct benefit of those people who are bringing these things to light.
Mm-hmm.
But on the simultaneously, everyone has the opportunity in their own life to express love. That's not really an expression of love, except in a very philosophical way, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one that, that directly feels or changes another person. And to look, oftentimes, we miss those opportunities on a day-to-day level because we're so preoccupied with our big thing. Like, I'll give you an example of that. Maybe somebody in your space is really sad. Maybe they're suicidal, and they wished they could have somebody as their friend to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And one's mind is so preoccupied with everything else, they don't even notice this person.
And one day, they're gone, and you say, how did I miss that? Why didn't they ask for help? You know, blah, 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 blah. I'm giving you that as an example. But I'm sure that's happened to many people at different times because, you know, it's very hard to reach and ask for help. And most people are inaccessible to that. And yet they can have their noble ideas and be totally unaware of what's going on around them. So, I mean, I would like to suggest to your listeners, look for opportunities to share real care with those people in your space that need it, because that will create the bonds that are outside of this realm. When you express something that has no intent to, or no agenda attached to it other than care, then there's a magic that occurs from that action that goes on forever. And relationships are built because of those actions. It can't be torn down. And if you're going to live in a world that's falling apart, those are the relationships that will hold you together, and you never know what act of kindness is going to come back months or years in the future and be so important to you. So don't miss an opportunity for an act of kindness. Keep your eyes open and keep your sensitivities open. At the same time, you're paying attention to all the things that are the injustices, because it's an injustice to miss an opportunity to care for another being. That's the greatest injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to conclude also that every Wednesday night, and Wednesday at 6 p.m., Matthew and I are on a conference line, and if any of you were touched by Matthew, he is really excellent at answering personal dilemmas. Really excellent. I've watched his answers change people's lives many times. I knew the people, and I knew how poignant and meaningful the answer was. And if you have a question about an issue in your life, you can ask it anonymously. We have a system where it's asked anonymously, and you can tune into our conference call and listen to the answers. And even if you don't have a question that you've posed, usually, almost always, there's one or two or three sentences for everyone that will be hitting home. So get your pencils out, and I'll give you the conference call number, which is 218-862-1115. 218-862-1115. And the PIN is 88261#. 88261#. And if you forget all that, you can go to the website, theradiantzone.com. Theradiantzone.com. www with no spaces. And you'll get a link to the conference call, the phone number. And if you're interested in a reading, there's a number you can call to book a reading from Matthew. So, I also tell people to read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And we're doing ongoing conference calls, planetary healings, almost every day, every night of the week. If you're one of those people that is going through a lot of changes and you don't have anyone throwing you a life raft, my conference calls are a good life raft, because you can see it's not really a part of this realm. So email me, winfrey@yahoo.com. Just say Win, give me all the information about the things you're doing, and we'll send it to you. And Don, thank you for the opportunity to be on your show this evening again.
Yes. Now, I want to thank you, and also, you know, we lost Matt, so if you could thank him for coming on the show.
Mm-hmm. I'll thank him, and I mean, I'll thank you on his behalf, because I know it's special for him to come on and do that, what he did today. And
mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's a honor and a blessing to be able to share those kinds of abilities with lots of people in a safe environment. So we thank you for setting that up.
Well, I gave the numbers out. Now, I didn't announce call in. The folks didn't call in. We got so into the message. No one called but me.
You know, sometime if you want, as I told you, you could, you know, prompt for some questions
mm-hmm.
a couple days before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Line up some questions, and maybe Matthew would be willing to come on again.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. Now, I have you scheduled to come on again this month. You're going to be with us on the 30th, Wednesday the 30th.
A week from this Wednesday, right?
Which is a week from this Wednesday. So put that on your calendar if you don't have
it
there.
Sorry, we were late today.
I will send a message out to the Council of the Elohim. They remind you.
did you send me an email today about the show tonight?
Yes, I did.
You did?
And I sent you a phone message, too.
Huh.
So, in fact, it was one of the first times your voicemail wasn't completely clogged.
So, okay. All right.
So if you hear that message, disregard it, but it will verify the fact that I did call you.
Well, I'm sure if you say it, you did. Okay.
Okay. I want to thank you for the time spent. I feel it was well spent. And we're keeping our streak going. We get interrupted every time, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how that energy just has to interfere with this
mm-hmm.
message. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, we just make the call again and we get through. So
yep.
It's a small inconvenience.
Well, you know what? It just means we're doing something good.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Please give my best to Daphne, and if Daphne is open, give me a call, okay?
All right.
And also say hello to Terry. In fact, we thank Terry for finding you this evening.
Okay, good.
And,
okay.
And again, thank Matthew, and we're going to thank our listening audience now for tuning in tonight to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio. We had two guests tonight, Wynn Free, and you can also order Wynn's book. It's a free book. Free, everybody likes that word, free. The Questions and Answers with the Council of the Elohim. That is a free ebook. You email Wynn at winfree@yahoo.com. winfree@yahoo.com, and he'll be happy to send you a copy of that book.
Did you say W-Y-N-N?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you.
Yes,
okay.
I did.
Okay,
so folks, thank you for tuning in to Evident Footprints. Special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and to Seth Hendrick on the sound. My special guest tomorrow evening will be Mr. Michael Herzog, who himself is a talk show host on a Patriot Network, and it's always very interesting and very exciting to hear what Michael brings to the table, so be sure to tune in tomorrow. Got great shows. Ken Adachi will be back with us again this week as well. And Dr. Sheila Mannix. And, of course, at the end of the week, always Jim Murray. And that's sure to be another engaging conversation. So in the meantime, I wish everyone peace, love, and light. And have a good night.